And let's look at where we are. We've been looking at kingdom timing. Kingdom timing. All right. Now, we're doing God's timing. God's timing is so important. You understand time, you win. You don't understand time, you lose. The right time is always on target. Hear me. A good idea at the right time always be successful. The right idea at the wrong time will fail. All right? And you can just put that in your heart. A good idea at the right time will always be successful. A good idea at the bad time, timing's wrong, will fail. Ask Leonardo da Vinci. They thought he was a lunatic because he made a drawing of a helicopter. All right, just think about that. Now, last Friday, we were in this body, soul, and spirit. We're understanding that. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the order. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's a war going on several fronts. I'm just going to, I dealt with these pretty thoroughly, so I'm just going to kind of review them. There's a mind war going on. Critical times require critical thinking. Number two, there's a blood war going on, empowered in soul and spirit. Number three, a time war. There's a time war happening right now that everything is so mixed up, all right? Another one is the presence of the glory war. Is your lamp stand and burning? Are your life burning? Another one, the power war. Who are you in agreement with? Who are you in agreement with? Next one, the wealth war, defining your boundaries. The war of the nations. Will the real ruling nation priests stand up? Priests rise. We know all about that from last week, don't we? Yeah. There's a harvest war. Keep praying and prophesying. We looked at that. Now, we looked at the divine recovery, the strategies linked with restoration. It's time to be delivered and receive a fresh start. We looked at that from John 8. Again, you can listen to all these on the website. Now, here's something I want you to be involved with right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, be whole. All right. We are instructed to be united in mind with the mind of Christ. Romans 12:16, 1 Peter 3:8, 1 Corinthians 2:16. To be whole, body, mind, and spirit, we have to have, our mind united with God's mind, with Christ's mind. We can't be scatterbrained. We have to be focused on what Jesus says. We have to be focused what the Word of God tells us. Now, the enemy wants us scattered. He wants us everywhere. He wants us in so many places, we see ourselves coming back. And he'll put thoughts in our mind that scatters us, that gets us off point to what God wants us to have in our life. We have to have a united mind. You got to have it. You got to say, okay, Lord, I know the enemy comes at me. I know the devil comes at me. I know the powers of evil come at me, but I will not be scatterbrained. I will be focused. I'll have a focused thinking. If God says this in his word, then that's what it means in his word. I love the way Jamie does that when he talks about how do I know the Bible tells me so. And I just want to tell you and agree with Jamie that we have to be focused on what the word of God says. And the word of God says things that we have to enter into. As most of you know, I do biblical Bible word studies every morning, Monday through Friday. I do that before the programming. I look at what the Word of God says in Bible study, but I just don't take a verse. I take a word in that verse, and I look at definitions, and I look at the languages that they're rendering, and I see things in a Western perspective. I had a thought, but I go to the Eastern side. I go to the Jewish information, and it looks, the depth is just exploding, and it's telling us we better have the mind of God in our lives. We better absorb the Word of God the way a sponge absorbs water. Second thing, may your heart, now heart frequency means mind. Sometimes you'll see heart, mind, heart. Got to be pure. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1, and Jeremiah 19, 5. You got to have a purity in you, a righteousness within you. I'm writing another book, like two more, but I'm writing another book, and one of the book chapters is on righteousness. Righteousness, first draft on that book. Righteousness. What is biblical righteousness? What is biblical purity? It's inside that book. And that righteousness of God, what it means to have the righteousness of God within you. What is righteousness? What is righteous? I'll just give you a thought here. You know, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you know what that really means? We think of a cloth that we use oil, or we go out and we dust the furniture. No, 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 no. That's not what it means. This is how serious about being righteous and purity means. That I'm going to tell you, right, we're all adults here. That word filthy comes from the feminine noun of a lady's time of the month. That's right. That's right. It means a cloth that has been used, pure mind, during the time of a lady's cycle. Now think of that. You think of that. So when you look at this, our righteousness is as filthy rags. What he's actually saying is that our righteousness has been used for bodily discharges. That's right. Oh, I'm not going to tell you no more about the book. You won't buy the book and read it. All right, okay? All right, that's what I'm saying. So may your heart, mind be pure, because our righteousness is like the cycle of a lady. And there's more to say about that and another time. Number three, may your spirit, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, 36 and 37, be new. There has to be a renewing for wholeness. There has to be a renewing of your spirit. It's got to be made new. I'm talking about wholeness here. We're talking about let the spirit, mind, and body be restored, renewed. May your soul, 1 Chronicles 28, 9, Psalm 23, be whole. May your soul be whole. Wait a minute. Listen to this. You can have a whole spirit, but a fragmented soul. Body, mind, emotions. You know, we think of all these things, but just zero in on the soul. What is soul? Mind, will, emotions. Okay, it's conscience. You can have your spirit renewed, but your soul not be whole. That's why Christians say and do and act the way they do, is because they've had a spirit transplant, old man, new man, but they have not had a soul transplant, because your soul, mind, will, and emotions, conscience, has been programmed by the world system. Programmed by the world system. Our thinking's been programmed by the system of the world. That's why Jesus said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So when your soul, body, mind, emotions, conscience, and a lot of other things, is not being renewed and is still operating under the system of the world, that's why Christians go out and they cuss like sailors. That's why their mind is always on something else. That's why their mind is not pure, not righteous, because of the very fact they need renewal. And then, may your body reflect his power. Psalm 107, verse 20. See, all these things work together to make you who you are. To make you who you are. And what you are. And that's how the enemy works against you. See, we have to know how the enemy opposes us. 1 Peter chapter 5. We have to understand how the enemy opposes us. He opposes us where? In our spirit? Not in the beginning. In our mind, in our thinking. He comes to you and he brings thoughts to you. He brings soulish desires to you. That's what he does. That's how he works. He brings these soulish desires. Now listen. Listen. You got to understand the difference between soulish desires and soulish thoughts and soulish ideas than the Spirit of God working in your heart. There's a lot of soulish prayers going out there. Tremendous amount of soulish prayers. You know, you think something, and oh, yeah, that's from God, but it's really not from God. So filter the thoughts through your spirit, through the spirit that's in you of the Lord. Filter them. A lot of soulish thoughts, especially in Christians, in churches, a lot of soulish stuff. You know, the Lord just told me you're going to jump over a building in a single bound. Oh, that's a word from God. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, go and try that. You see? Do not be ignorant and participate with the enemy unknowingly. We do. And the enemy's an expert to detect hidden trauma in you. You must remove its effects. You're going through some difficult days. I mean, things are just not good. Things are not as what they should be. Oh, and we get these thoughts. And there's trauma within our lives of some sort. Excuse me, there's trauma there. We're traumatized. And the enemy captures the trauma, captures that difficulty, captures the pressure. And you have to say, I'm going to remove the effects of the trauma. Always, you hear people talk about, you know, they're drama queens. Well, there's trauma queens and trauma kings as well. There's always in trauma, always one thing after another, one trauma after another, one problem after another. If the dog does not have fleas, the cow doesn't give milk. I mean, that's where we are. And the enemy has schemes and tactics to change times. Listen to me. The enemy has schemes and tactics to change times and laws to make your faith empty. That's right. The enemy comes in and changes times. Well, this never works out. This never does this. That'll never happen because so-and-so and so-and-so. Listen, these times make your faith empty. Well, I might as well just give up now. That's a time problem. I just go ahead and just quit. They'll never get to Jesus. They'll never get saved. They'll never get healed. They'll never be financially whole. That's a time and law problem. And the enemy has the way to come and empty our faith. Well, I'll never get out of debt. How many Christians have said that today? We'll never get this done. You see? We'll never be blessed by God. I've heard Christians say that. We'll never be blessed by God. God will never bless me. See, watch for covenant-breaking strategies. That's a covenant that God will touch your life. Covenant. Understand the covenants, how they work and how they function. And watch where the strategies of the enemy will come in and break the covenant that you have with God. Listen, I've been there. I have 10 t-shirts in my drawers, my chest of drawers, my right there folded up, where that's happened to me. That's happened to me. I thought, oh God, I'll never, ever, 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 ever be better in this situation. I saw that happening. Morgan and I went through, and you know that, my friends that are listening and those that know me, we went through a nightmare for about a year. No money, no jobs, lost our house, lost the car, didn't have enough money to buy a pencil at a discount store, had no dollars, nothing. Couldn't find anywhere to go. Margaret could not find a job. I could not find a pastorate. Almost not everybody, thank God for people like Kent and Cindy Rogers. I love them eternally. And Wendell and Ty Smith. And there's others like that stood by me and held me up when I was going down, when I was up to my neck in problems and I couldn't see my way to buy a stick of gum in a 7-Eleven store. Just nowhere to go. Totally, almost bankrupt. I told Margaret, no, 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 no. We are not going to declare bankruptcy. We could have like 10 times over. I'll tell you why, Margaret, why? Because that would give the enemy praise. And I refuse to do that. And we didn't. We didn't. And the enemy tried to break the strategies that God had for me in covenant. That's right. That's right. That's right. And some folks came alongside of me. I remember those that are listening and knew Roger Meadows. Roger's in heaven today. Roger came to me one day. He says, Ron, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that, Roger? He said, you never forget your friends, those that stood by you. And he said to me, no halo here, like you. And he called some other names that I know that are friends of mine. People that will stick by you no matter what you're going through and not abandon you like rats out of a burning barn. Watch covenant-breaking strategies. I hope this is helping somebody right here. Counteract faith destroyers. Escape the slavery the enemy wants to put you in. And to tell the rest of the story, all of a sudden, by the act of the Lord, things began to change for Margaret and me. Things began to change for Margaret and me. It just, within months, everything was turned around. Everything was restored. Got another house. Got some new cars. That's right. That's right. We had no vehicles. Went to a certain dealership. I had to take my Mustang and turn it in because I couldn't pay for it anymore. Went to a certain dealership, and I know the dealer said, "Oh no, you're not going to do that. I'll buy the car from you," and bought the car from me and saved me that situation. And at that moment, things began to turn. They just began to turn for me. I'm telling you this to encourage you, to encourage your life, to encourage the church you pastor, to encourage your family. I'm not just teaching this stuff without any personal experience. I know. Things began to change. That one act. And I said, "Oh, gee. Now what are we going to do?" Went back to the same dealer. I had family members, my children said, "Dad, don't worry. We'll come down to you and we will finance this car." Now, your son's telling you that. That was really a wonderful banner day, wasn't it? You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to support them. And they turned around and supported me. So we went to the car dealership. They were there. They set out. We picked the car, walked in there. And they said, "You know, here it is. Here it comes." And Mark and I looked at each other and going to call the rescue squad, you know, the Calgary, coming in. And they said, "We're going to finance this car. It's the same dealership that I turned the other car in." Walked outside, told my son, "Hey, we got the vehicle." And we all rejoiced together and all went out to dinner. Don't ever, ever, ever fail to counteract faith destroyers, escape slavery, and ponder the enemy. Don't ever, ever, ever fail to do that. And know what'll happen? The time will be right and God will bless you. More tomorrow.